Hallelujah. What a wonderful anointing there is. I believe that the Spirit of God wants to do something special. Let's just bow our heads and pray in tongues. Let's let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. I believe the Word of God is coming forth right now as the Lord has given me a prophecy for this body at ABC, and namely for Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah as well. And the Lord would say unto you, my servants, that I have come and I have given you life and life more abundantly. And I will say to you, Pastor Joshua Trevor, I will say to you, Pastora Sarah Phyllis, that I'm calling you up into a higher level. It is a new season that is unfolding unto you. And all of heaven's resources are at your beck and call. For I have given more angels charge over you. And they will minister on your behalf because it is time. And you will be known as you spread my word through this world only to glorify Jesus. For he is soon returning. And your message will go forth into every nation, every land. And I will make it happen. I will do it because it is my word through you that you have developed and been faithful servants. And I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. And your reward is great. Your reward is so great. For I have seen all the sacrifices and all that you have given up for the love of God. You've done it all for the Lord. And the Lord says unto you, you're doing well, my good and faithful servants. And you will see greater things that you have not seen before. Things that you could not even imagined or hoped of or dreamed of or expected, because they are so much higher than what you had been used to. And I'm pouring out a greater anointing upon you by my Spirit, because you are being used to bless others and help them get ready. That you are not listening to the words of man. You are not listening to the ways that you've been taught or things that were of this world. That your heart is soaring unto the next level with me. I'm drawing you into a place where you hunger and thirst after righteousness so much, like the deer pants after the water, that you are forsaking all the things of the earth because you want more of God's ways. Hallelujah. And to the body of believers that follow these two, you shall share in those blessings coming down from them unto you. And the Lord is going to use each of you and all of you for miracles, signs, and wonders as you align yourself with God and his will, pleasing the Heavenly Father, being hearers and doers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, super conquerors, overcoming every challenge of the enemy, that you will see yourself how I see you. Demons run from you. poverty has no place in your life. Restoration is part of normal daily living. Miracles occur as also the normality through you, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I have designated this group, this body of ABCers, to be examples to the rest of the body of Christ for purity, for righteousness, for cleansing, for walking in the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and the power of God rests upon you now. And you will be sent forth to do God's work. And you will see so many people give their hearts to God, draw closer to the Lord, get delivered, cleansed, and set free. I'm pouring out unto you abundance beyond measure, flowing over and above. Receive now in Jesus' name. Just raise your hands and receive from heaven those blessings and anointing. The blessings are running to overtake you now. The angels of God are bringing unto you the abundance of God in every area of your life. Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship Him. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Heavenly Father. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Holy Spirit. I worship you, my Lord, my God, my King, my everything. I worship you. I worship you and you alone. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We praise you, we adore you. We worship you, O Lord God of the universe. There is no other God. You are above all gods and the name above all names. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being our King. Thank you, Jesus, for being our everything. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just have a moment of silence, for the Lord wants to speak to many of you. Praise you, Lord. If the Lord spoke to you, may I encourage you just take a couple minutes and jot down what you heard from Him, today's date. He wants you to remember that special word from Him. And those that didn't receive a word, He's with you right now in a special way and has done something special just for each and every one of us today. So you're not left out. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, today's topic is Prosper Your Soul and Be in Health, Series Part 7. And the introduction says, in Part 6, Section E, it was discussed that God can keep your souls from trouble. And this study pursues one of the keys to helping your soul get out of trouble and stay out of trouble. Isn't that a good thing? Well, the reason why I'm teaching is because that was one of my heart's cry. You know, you ever done this insert foot, stick in mouth thing? Well, I used to do that a lot. And I was one of the people that just speaks my mind. And I really needed to learn to let God control my tongue and my words. And I wasn't always successful, and I'm still working on that area of my life. And so I said, Lord, how do I get better at this? And He said, well, you've got to prosper your soul. And when we prosper our souls, then we will prosper in health. And if we're in health, it means also emotional health. It means mental health, not just physical health. It means that we are walking in the fruit of the Spirit and we have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is more than just happiness. Happiness can wane. It can come and go. But the joy always remains with you because it's your strength. And if you find that you're having challenges with weakness, it's because you don't have enough joy of the Lord in that area of your life. So isn't that a good remedy? Just go spend more time in God's joy. Amen. He likes us to laugh. He likes us to have fun. He likes us to fellowship. And let's see how to keep our soul out of trouble. A, how to keep your soul out of trouble. Number one, whoever guards his or her mouth and tongue keeps his or her soul from troubles, as it says in Proverbs 21:23 in the New King James Version. And number two says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable or pleasing in your sight. Well, we can't rule our tongue on our own. We need God to help us. And when we're having challenges with it, it means we need to go spend more time with him and make sure that our input, what we're doing, is getting more of him and his word and his joy. Usually what happens is when we have challenges with either offending people, many times we don't realize it, or becoming offended, many times it's because we are so occupied in our schedules that we're not increasing the time just with him. My husband, Pastor James, the other day was teaching about the excellence of God and how he's achieving that and growing that in his life and how we all want that. And we spend, 2 to 3 hours in prayer daily. When we do cleansing, sometimes it's 6 to 8 hours in that day. But in addition to that, instead of just taking an hour lunch break, he will take a half an hour and only converse with his Heavenly Father. That's not a time to do affirmations. That's not a time to do your prayers. It's the time to have fellowship with our God somewhere in our day where he could speak to us. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts, the commander in chief of the armies of heaven. We need to have our marching orders and our assignments. And we need to just simply get things cleared up with him so he can explain stuff to us. Because he knows how to get through to us more than anyone else, right? Let's try to spend more time with our Heavenly Father. Let's be before the feet of Jesus like Mary. This is a Mary season. The Martha season of always doing something for God is now going to be on hold. He is calling us into a higher level to go into the throne of thrones and the holy of holies, into that holy place, in the secret place of the Most High. He wants us to not just visit it and come out of it when we're done with prayer. He wants us to abide in that all day long, that once we go into the holies of holies to spend time with him, we take that anointing and that presence of God with us. We remain in him throughout the day. And if we're about to make a mistake, he wants to show us before we do it. That's the place I want to arrive at. Have I gotten there yet? Not quite. Right, honey? But I'm working on it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, B, is your tongue helping you or hurting you? Number one, you have the power of death and life in your tongue. You have power that you may not be using in the right way and not realizing how powerful you are. That regardless if you say something in passing, not really thinking about it, either the angels of God will make sure it comes to pass, if it's the word of God, or the demons will make sure it comes to pass. They are waiting for every word that comes out of your mouth. Do we realize that kind of power that we have. And we should all now start really watching our words more vigilantly than ever before. Good thing we can take the eraser and say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null and void anything that I did not say that lined up with the word of God, and cancel it in the name of Jesus and put them under the blood of Jesus. And angels of God, make sure that only the word of God operates in my life. And then I would say a promise that is the opposite of the negative that the devil caused me to say, to cover it with the word, and then put the word of God out so the angels of God could now go rectify that. Does that make sense? Okay, so we need to get to a point in our life where we are exuding that anointing and that glory. And we all have a long way to go still, right? But we can encourage each other. And if someone blows it and offends me, I'm not going to just go talk about them behind their back and badmouth them, because then those words are going to curse that person to continue doing that bad thing. Because it's complaining about what was done that was wrong. Well, what I'm going to do is take it to God and say, Lord, please help them. Let them see whatever is wrong. Change your hearts and help them to grow in you. And then I'm going to confess the word of God over them. Because what we speak over ourselves and others will come to pass. So if they're having a problem in a certain area, instead of us saying, there they go again, why don't we just be part of the solution and say, in the name of Jesus, that person is led by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, God opens the eyes of their understanding and floods it with life, light to show them the error of their ways, and they repent and renounce and break, and they're able to cleanse and get rid of those demons and get set free and be used by God in a greater way in Jesus' name. Can we start doing that more often? Some of you are, and some of you, you know, sometimes will have a hard time if you have an encounter with someone in strife. It is really hard to get a hold of yourself to be able to want to do that. Because, you know, someone said, I was so mad I could just spit. And I said, oh God, at least don't spit on me. But once they calmed down, you know, and they were at work, I said, do a lot of bathroom visits. They said, what? I said, you know, your employer can't touch you in the bathroom, and that's not a break. You still get 10 minutes. Go to the bathroom and confess your sin of being mad at whatever the person did. Repent, renounce, break. Bind up those demons, or do your three witnessing, or, you know, whatever level you're on. Bless that person and go back out and show the love of God, which covers a multitude of sins. You might have to do it 16 times a day. You might have to bind up antagonizing demons. Whatever it is, we have to now not allow the devil to control our day. But we are going to let the Holy Spirit control what we say, how we behave, what we do. And everything, we have to ask him permission, his permission. And we have to grow in that area. And we're not all there. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes there's not consistency. And if you are consistent, ask the Lord, how can you step it up? What is the next level? Because believe you me, when the times get worse in the end times, there is no time to practice then. You will have to operate automatically. You know, some of you were here for 10 o'clock and some of you were not. But the Lord wants me to repeat these examples. In the Mideast, during wartime, we have heard that the enemy bombed hospitals. They killed the innocent children, the women, the doctors, the nurses, solely because they didn't want the injured soldiers to get fixed up and get back out on the field. The enemy is ruthless. What are you going to do in the end times when there are no hospitals available to you or your loved ones? You have to walk in miracle signs and wonders. You need to get to the point where God is the solution, the word of God and the anointing. What's going to happen when disasters occur more often? You know, the earth is going to be destroyed and a new earth and a millennium is going to happen. So when you have seen that there has been time for the hurricanes, warnings, and they know the trajectory, and those people go to their stores, and there's nothing left on the shelves, no water, no food, there's no gasoline. ABCers should be people that God already told what to do, how to do, and you're prepared and ready. ABCers should be ones that don't worry if the water is a challenge that to be being used, because it'll multiply. It'll continue being your source, regardless if you're drinking your last bottle. Tomorrow, there'll be water in it. ABCers should be the ones that if there's no more food on the shelves, that you command food to come to you. And in the name of Jesus, manna will appear for you and your family, because God has no favorites. It happened before. He could do it again. ABCers are the ones that are studying the word of God and utilizing what we have been taught here, so that we are the miracle workers and that we don't fear what happens in this world, but we walk in faith, knowing that nothing of the enemy can by any means harm us if we use the power in our tongue for the good and practice not to do the negative. Amen? We need to step that up. And number two, you can choose to create. Underline that, create life. You can create life or you can create death. You can create blessings or you can create curses. With what? Your words. Let's practice to do better, to create more things of life and more blessings. Number three, for verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you say unto this mountain, you must say it. You don't receive it because you don't say it with God's word. The angels don't respect our words. That's not what makes them go out and have creation occur on our behalf. It's only God's word they will listen and hearken to. And we got to speak more of God's word than we speak of our own words, so that whatever you see in your life that's lacking, you can fix it. God's given you and me the ability to create, because he's the provider. And if we seek the provider and not the provision, he will show you what to pray, what to speak out, what to affirm, and what to command, and it shall happen for you. For all these mountains and problems of life will be removed. They shall be cast into the sea. If you shall not doubt in your heart, if you shall not doubt in your heart, if you're not seeing miraculous things happen in your life as a daily basis, where are we doubting in our heart? Where are we not activating that word? Let's ask God to help us grow in that area. But shall believe that those things which he says it through your tongue. He says it through his words, through your mouth. It's his words, and we're the ambassador. Let's speak more of his words than our words. Amen? His words shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you say and what God says through you. Amen? Number four, faith comes by hearing. What have you been listening to? Because you're the direct result of what you listen to. Whenever there are challenges in your life, write them all down. Find out what have you been listening to concerning that. And are we doing more things in the world than spending more time with God? Because if you need an area in your life to be rectified, it takes sacrifice to spend more time with God and his word. It means we die to self. We give up more of what we want, and then there's going to be more room of him to give us his fullness of himself, not just partial. The more we die to ourselves, the more room there is for him. Amen. Number five, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor or the captain listeth, or where the captain wants it to go. And even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. So let's try not to boast, but we should always be telling about the great things God does instead. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And that's James 3, 2 through 5. So we don't want to set our lives on fire by speaking amiss. And so we want to be spiritual firemen and firewomen, putting out ungodly fires with the word of God and letting God be that rudder to us, being the bridle on our tongue, and let's not take it off on a regular basis. Let's try to work harder at this. Amen. And A, the Greek translation of tongue is glossa. Strong's Concordance in G1100 means the member of the body, organ of speech, language, or dialect. But number six, it says have a resolution instead of a complaint or a dispute. So your tongue can complain about things, or it could just speak the word of God to change things instead. A, Strong's G112, gogissimos, means to murmur, muttering, a secret debate, a secret displeasure, and openly avowed. B, definition of complaint, to say anything or something that expresses annoyance or unhappiness with disgust or quarreling. C, constant complaints turn into nagging, which is constantly harassing someone to do something. And D, negative affirmations bring bad results. You know, we need to change that part of our lives. And how are we going to do that? C, do not doubt that godly affirmations will bring you successful, good results. Don't doubt that. Some people are like, man, I'm just still doing a lot of these affirmations and I'm not seeing any change. And oh my goodness, does this stuff really work? You've just canceled the thousands of prayers you had with one little tiny statement because it was around the corner. You see, God wants to know your patience and your perseverance and your endurance. You have to already see that you have the results in the spirit, and it doesn't matter how long you have to affirm and thank God for it, for the full manifestation. He wants to see your faithfulness and not waver in your faith, right? So in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for helping us not to doubt. And in number one, it says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm. How many times? What does it say? Constantly. Does it say sometimes? No. Does it say don't affirm it when you get tired of doing it? No. Does it say do it really a lot in the beginning and then when you get too busy, you don't do it anymore? No. Because B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke, the devil wants to put more stuff in your life to detour you and distract you from getting the word of God under your belt. Because he knows you'll become more powerful than you are now. And that he knows that you will achieve all of your goals and that you will be a successful warrior for him. And so it says, I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. And what are those good works? These things are good and profitable to men. A, the Bible dictionary definition of affirm is to assert or confirm. Confirm. You want a confirmation from God? Just say your affirmations. To tell with confidence. To maintain as true and to declare it as a fact. You would shorten the time that you do your affirmations if you do it with this attitude. What attitude? To confirm with confidence that the word of God is true and affirm it constantly, that it's a fact. Even though you don't see it in the physical realm, it's happened in the spiritual realm because the first time you asked, God made it happen. You created it with your word the first time you asked. That's why you only need to ask once. You can't create it again. It's already created. But as you thank God and keep affirming with the word of God, then you're manifesting it into the physical realm from the spiritual realm. Now, remember that we need to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to let us have discerning. So we know the people that seem like good, but they aren't good. And we need to grow in that area, especially in the end time. So I'm asking God to show me. Amen. I'm asking God to grow me in discerning of spirits as he wills. He'll show me and give me revelation. Amen. And also that when someone blows it, I'm not going to be rude and unkind to them anymore. I'm not going to yell at them or berate them because they messed up. We need to be kind. And Hosea 4:6, let's educate them. Were you aware that you did so-and-so or that I felt offended when you did so-and-so? But in the name of Jesus, I believe that you, and then you speak the word of God over them right there. Speak the word of God over them right there. Don't like, you know what? You always do this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. You have just affirmed that they will constantly do that wrong. But if you say to them in the name of Jesus, you have the mind of Christ and the Lord shows you and the Lord corrects you, and thank God that my Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you have the mind of Christ, that you hear the voice of God, and the Lord speaks to you and affirms to you, and the Lord is showing you how to correct these things that may have offended others because it's not your heart. And in the name of Jesus, that you are improving in all these areas. Do you see the difference? You are now edifying and helping that person with graciousness. And it's still a form of helping them because God corrects the ones he loves. And so, but God has never corrected me in a manner that number one, he wasn't wrong. You know what I mean? If we really admit it when God tells you something, you know. And number two, it was in a manner which I could receive from him. And so let's all learn to be more Christ-like, gentle, more diplomatic. And people who run away from telling people they need to be corrected aren't doing it God's way, because God says if someone offends you, you have to go to him or her. But you think out of osmosis they're going to know they were making a mistake because no one told them? They'll just keep making the same mistake because they think it's right. But if we do it with love and graciousness and edifying the person, God could help us be a messenger of his peace and his love, because love covers a multitude of sins. Let's be more loving to help them. If I was doing a mistake and it was affecting me and my husband never told me, I would just keep doing those mistakes and I would open the doors to the seven worsers to come back and affect me. He loves me enough the first time to say, Karen, you ever hear him say these words, with all due respect? And I go, yeah. See, if I get mad and just not accept what he's saying, then I'm not going to be open to change. He's doing it because he loves me. And he is the most gracious corrector. Is that a name? Corrector. I know. And then I say, Lord, help me to change. And I repent. And then I say, honey, you know, just can you remind me if I do it again and not aware of it? And can we pray together, you know? And he supports me in it. He assists me in it. He doesn't expect me to change overnight, because that's not going to happen. But God will help change each of us as the word of God renews our mind. The washing of the water of the word every day. And as I work on that and ask the Holy Spirit to work through me and all the things that I have to align that was out of alignment, and that's why I wasn't working right in those areas. So we have to align with our spirit, our heart, soul, mind, and body. And then everything will flow. The anointing will flow. The glory will flow. We'll be able to see and recognize snares of the devil before it happens. We will recognize the temptation while it's occurring and stop and say, no, I'm not going to give into that in the name of Jesus. And if we do blow, we immediately say, oh my gosh, I see, I just blew it. I'm just going to go RRB real quick and do my three witnessing. And we're on top of it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that we may not make, as bad mistakes, but we're still going to be making mistakes. But God's going to help us through those mistakes. God's going to help us improve. God's going to help us as we practice, and we may not be there yet. So if someone is blowing it, let's give them grace like we want God to give us grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so B, we're in a C1B. Strong's G1223, affirm constantly means to confirm thoroughly by words. And two, let the word of God control your tongue by speaking affirmations, because no man or woman can control his or her tongue without God's help. Oh, Lord, we just need your help. We need your intervention so much, don't we? And if you give permission for people to speak into your life and tell you when you're blowing it or remind you, we have accountability. If people are telling you something and you get mad right away because you think you're always right, then you're always going to keep making that mistake, because we're not open to hear what they might have to say. And even if you don't agree with it, let them say it and then take it to God and ask him if they're right. Make sense? Okay. All right. So three, avoid words, words and actions. It should be words and actions that may contradict your faith. James 1:6-8 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man thinketh that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if someone says one thing and does another and then changes his opinion immediately, they're not very stable. So we need to pray that God will show them not to waver anymore. Okay, and we need to ask God to help us not waver, right? So when some people, I've been having some people track their healing. You know, Pastor Joshua's taught me a lot of good stuff. And he would have me track things in my life scientifically. But it really helped me. How many times was I doing affirmations? So if there was inconsistency, then I wasn't getting the right results. So I had to become consistent. For instance, the pain and the infirmity was at a 10 level, really bad, because we want to zero it out, meaning you have no pain or infirmity, right? You want to get to zero. So if the pain and infirmity was at a 10 level, and then I'd be, you know, doing my prayers, doing my affirmations, repenting, renouncing, breaking, three witnessing, all that, cleansing, then it would go down to like a 9, then I'd see it go to an 8, then I'm getting encouraged, it's getting better, right? 7, and then what if it goes back to a 10? And then what if it goes back to a 7? Now what if it goes back to a 10? And goes back to a 7? That's unstable. That's wavering. What's happening? I'm not stable and I'm not consistent in the word of God. I'm not consistent in forgiving myself or catching the demons when they're trying to attack me. I have to become more consistent, and then I will be able to drop past that level. Okay? So ask the Lord, where am I wavering in my faith? Where am I not consistent and I don't see the constant progression and maintaining that level of results that I want? That's very important. So I think if we track ourselves in our pattern, the other thing is this. Some people, the devil will make you forget all the praise reports. Some people would say to me, you know, it's been 2 years and I haven't seen much results. I said, go ahead and track your praise reports. Wow, I got healed in January. Then I got another progression of healing in March. And then I got another progression in April. I've been improving. Instead of, oh, I'm still not healed yet. The devil wants us to think I'm not healed yet. Or my checkbook isn't reflecting what I want it to reflect. Do you see what I'm saying? And so, number four, start with small things. Do not despise small beginnings, because every progress is a huge thing. You have developed your faith to get there. Hooray. Now you can go to the next level, but you can't until you get to level one. You can't get to two until you've gotten to one. You can't get to three until you've gotten to two. So, well, how come you're not completely healed yet? Because you got to go through the steps, step by step. How many World Series are won by home runs? Only. If they didn't have a good defense system, if that guy is throwing a ball to first base and that batter is running to first base, if that first baseman doesn't catch that ball and have an out to touch that runner, he's not out. And it doesn't matter if it was a home run because, you know, you got to get the people out so you can score. But you have to have everything in place. It's the base hits that usually, working as a team, everything aligned, that make great teams. You, God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are a great team. We have to do our part, and He's already done His part. So all we have to do is work on our stuff. And you know, most valuable players don't occur because they don't work on their weaknesses. There's this one player. They sent him back to the minors. That is a big demotion. Huge demotion. He did not get discouraged. You know what he did? He had a problem hitting. Those fastballs were coming, the curveballs were coming, and he would strike out and strike out and strike out. Guess what he did? He went in the batting cage. He worked on his hitting. He got the pitchers to pitch every kind of ball to him imaginable so he wouldn't be surprised. So, you know, when they find out a player's weakness, if they know that he can't do a curveball, he can't hit that, guess what they're going to throw to him? More curveballs and faster. They're going to strike him out every time. Ask God, where am I weak? What area of my life do you need to help me batter up and get better at? Let me practice in those areas and show me how. And give me someone to speak into my life with accountability that's gracious to me, that can correct me and show me something that I don't know that I need to work on. Because if you never hear input from other people, you can never change. Because not all the time are we open to hearing the Holy Spirit. But ask God to give you Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled people who listen to the voice of God to speak into your life. And that's how we're going to improve. Start with the small things. 4A. Don't declare that your head has been healed. Then take a pain pill to alleviate a headache. You've just canceled your faith. B. Do affirm, my head has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Then resist the temptation to take a pain pill and continue giving yourself a continued dosage of the gospel. Amen? C. Don't declare that you have been healed of the flu, then tell people that every fall you catch it. So if you're going to get a flu shot as a preventative measure, then you don't get it again. What is that? That's canceling your faith. D. Do affirm, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, therefore my immune system is strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Then give your testimony to people that you do not get the flu every season any longer because you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus and the Word of God is the only medicine you need. Number 5, practice walking in faith. A, pray once to ask God for everything you need or desire because that's when you've created it. It was done deal then. B, thank God by affirming God's word until you receive the manifestation or the manifested desire with your words and actions, because your actions show whether or not you're in faith. C, after you receive your manifestation of healing, then tell your testimony to others. D, be patient with yourself and with others who have not perfected being gracious with their words yet. Number 1 under D, by your patience, you possess your souls. The Amplified Classic Version says, by your patient endurance, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will gain your souls. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your patience so you prosper more in your soul. Roman number 2 under D says, let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, meaning to be more tasteful, that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. That's the Amplified Classic of Colossians 4:6. Remember, there can be no testimony if there's no what? Test. So go past every test with success by affirming the Word of God constantly. Continue to prosper your soul and be in health. even as your soul continues to prosper, and be successful by creating your results through constantly affirming the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to make an addendum to that teaching. Specifically in the area of the steps of faith. Now, this is not a healing tool. This is the general church service. So, I want to clarify the fact that everything Karen said about steps in faith is correct at a certain level. But every person is at a different level of faith. You can't act at a level that's higher than where you're at. Just as when you're praying in agreement with somebody, you have to go down to their level of agreement. You can't bring them up to your level of faith. Everybody understand that? So just as when you're praying the prayer of agreement, you have to go down to their level of faith and agree with them where they are, just so as you're determining what your faith action plan is, as you're determining what your faith action steps are, you have to evaluate what your faith level is. For example, Karen said, you can't say, I've been healed from headaches by the strap of Jesus, and then take a headache pill. In general, that's a true statement. But at a level of a beginner, one of the greatest set of miracles in my life, both financial miracle was I got a contract from a man who didn't like me. This is 30-something years ago, who does not give down payments. And not only got the contract, I got a $10,000 down payment 30 years ago. Plus, their air conditioning system, which had gone out in the middle of summer, started working after I prayed. Plus a couple more miracles, all triggered by one, which is the wife of the owner had been in pain for 4 years. And so I laid hands on her and I said, "No, okay, no, go off and do something in faith." And she went off and she took a pain pill. And she came back about half an hour later and said, "The pain is gone." So I said, "Tell me now, how is it that you think taking a pain pill is a step in faith?" And she said, "Because for 5 years it hasn't worked." That makes sense to me, right? But for most people here to take a pain pill like that would not be a step in faith. It would say, "I don't believe my prayers work, so I'm taking a pain pill," right? Now, how you phrase your affirmation and how you phrase your prayer determines to a great extent what the faith action plans are. Let me say it again. How you pray determines what is acceptable as a faith action plan. How you phrase your prayer, how you phrase your affirmation determines what is good and what is wrong as a faith action plan. So if you say, "Okay, I've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, I've been healed from flus, and in Jesus' name, I'll never have another flu again," and then you go out and take a flu shot, that's not a good faith action plan. But if you say, this year, I'm not going to come down with a flu in the fall because I've been healed by the strength of Jesus, and I'm going to expect that when I take the flu shot, it's going to work this time, then that's okay. Because you're partnering with medicine to get it. Can people partner with medicine to get their healing? Nobody is laughing but me. Can people partner with medicine to get their healing? How many people think this is a true statement? Probably almost all of you in here, with few, except for my staff, probably almost everybody else, and you will, probably almost everybody else that I'm aware of, has been partnering with medicine to get the healing. Now, the point is to go to the point where you don't need to partner with medicine. But to do that, you got to pray accurately. You got to think about what you're going to pray. You got to think about what your affirmation is and how you're going to do it. Am I losing you all? I see a lot of blank stares. Anybody got questions? This is really crucial. This is crucial to the point of life and death. That's why I'm piggybacking on Pastor Karen's teaching. Everybody got it? So let me put it again. How you phrase your prayer, the actual wording of the prayer, how you phrase your affirmations determines what is or is not a good faith action plan. So if you can't bring somebody up to your level of faith to pray the prayer of agreement, if you have to go down to their level to pray the prayer of agreement with them, the same thing is true with you and yourself. You can't piggy-strap yourself up to a point where you've never been. If you've been taking pain pills and a lady came here, when she came here, she was taking 125 pills a day. 125 pills a day. No, I didn't say to her, lady, you've been healed by the strap of Jesus. Go home and throw away your 125 pills a day. How could she possibly do that? She'd have to come up to my level of faith and my level of experience to do that. What I said, we looked at what she's doing, and one by one, we started reducing them. You can reduce your dosage by from, say, 50 to 40 with doctor's permission. Doctor says, do this, then you do it. You have to be under obedience and authority. And one of the biggest challenges in the body of Christ is people don't understand authority and don't respect it. Whether it be secular authority, authority at work, authority in the medical system, or authority in church. If you're not following authority, you can have a terrible time getting your healing manifestation. Let me say that again. If you don't respect all authority comes from God. There is no authority and power without God. It's all passed down. So you must respect legal authority. So again, phrase your prayer and understand, yes, I can go to the doctor. Yes, I can have surgery. Yes, I can have medicine. Yes, I can do all these things and get my healing. As Catherine Kuhlman says, all healing comes from God. Some come miraculously, instantaneously, and some comes gradually with doctor's help. That's a really good way to view it. Okay? Now, we all want you to come to the point where you don't need doctors. Hold it. When you get there, let me tell you the bottom line. When you get there, you don't need doctors. You have to overcome the fear of death. Because if you're afraid of dying, it's going to be really hard to stand on the Word of God by itself. Because if you're afraid, it brings in fear. And fear counteracts faith. Romans 8:15. King James. God has not given us a spirit of bondage again. God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear. We had it once. We're delivered. We're children of God. We should be free of the bondage of fear. But a spirit of adoption where you cry, Abba, Daddy. When you learn to trust God as your Abba, Daddy, the fear will go. Okay. So understand, yeah, all the examples Pastor Karen gave are great examples, but they all assume certain level of experience, such as is normally here at ABC. But we always have new people coming and going here and on the internet. And as befitting people have gone through healing school, semester 1, 2, and 3, and school of dominion. So if you qualify in those levels, everything just says applies to you. Now, if you went through it and you were sleeping through the whole thing, it may not apply to you. Amen? Okay, thank you very much.